This is Jack's Journal, an in-depth look at local issues that affect you and your community.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Jack's Journal, and I'm Danielle Lee. You know, with Jack's Journals, I get a variety of topics for show ideas, and one topic that I'm just heavily interested in, if you haven't noticed, even following around for the past couple of weeks, is the whole millennials and voting. Yes, I know, it's so millennial of me to be interested in a topic that applies to me, but what can I say? Anyway, today we have a full house. I have Dr. Polina Rapier from Jacksonville University, along with two of her students from Jacksonville University, and I'm going to go ahead and let them introduce themselves, along with what year and major they are. So let's get this started.
All right, my name is Alex. I'm a sophomore at Jacksonville University, and I'm a double major in political science alongside English.
All right.
Good morning. My name is Romel Lopez. I'm a senior in Jacksonville University, and I'm majoring in political science and interdisciplinary studies with a minor in international studies.
All right. I just majored in mass communications and with a minor in theater for fun.
Okay.
So right now I'm like, all right, these guys are a lot smarter than me. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come in today. I'm looking forward to a great show. And to be honest, it's been a while since I had a full house for an interview, so I'll just start off with a question, and anyone can answer whenever they feel compelled to. So first things first, Dr. Rapier, thanks for coming in. Do you mind sharing a little bit about yourself and what you do at Jacksonville University?
Sure. Thank you so much for having us. I teach political science, mainly American politics, so courses on political parties, Congress, and the legislative process. I also advise the Political Science Society, which is a club for students of all majors who are interested in politics.
When people talk about pursuing a major or a career in political science, what can they expect?
They can expect to have a whole host of options open to them. I think a lot of the time students come in and are interested in politics or government, and they assume that the only option they have is to go to law school, but that's just not true. Mm-hmm. We can have students go on to graduate school to get a master's degree in, for example, public policy, which we offer at JU. They can go on and get a degree in political campaigning and run campaigns. If they're good in statistics, they can be research analysts for a think tank, or go on and do data analytics for different groups looking at voting behavior, survey research. They can work for nonprofits, work for city government, and the list goes on and on.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. I've had two different answers for this for the past two guests I've brought in when it came to this question. So with three people here, I'm interested to see what we get. Why do you think millennials are considered critical in the upcoming national election? Who's going to tackle it first?
I think I'll go for it.
All right.
I think millennials are a huge contributor to social issues and things like that, because we, including myself, I'm 19, mm-hmm. we make up this huge kind of group, and I think it's about 20%. So if millennials are really concerned, we can definitely make an impact on policy issues, because we have all these older generations putting in their vote because they're more concerned of, you know, the social services that are provided for them. So if we want to change things that are being funded or not funded, then it's up to us, the 20%.
All right. And anybody else want to jump in on that or do not agree?
Well, I do agree with Alex. I think that millennials, I'm not a millennial, but I think that millennials are very important. I'm a child of the 90s, so when I was her age, our vote back on those days was very, very strong in electing President Clinton. Mm-hmm. So we do affect the change of policies that the country need at the moment. The problem with the millennials or Generation X was that they don't go out to vote.
Right.
Many go. They're not that interested on the vote. There have to be something drastic at the moment, something romantic for them to come out and
vote. Got it. The last professor, the one I read in from UNF, he mentioned that, you know, they are a big group, but they're not going out there and voting. It's still all new to them, and it's mm-hmm. kind of like he says, you know, they have to do this and do that, that there's so many steps, and we're the generation of I want it now. Mm-hmm. And I kind of see where he's coming from, but being a millennial myself, I'm like, well, I mean, if we actually put in the work, I mean, we could if we wanted to. I mean, what do you guys think?
I mean, with technology nowadays, it's a lot less work than people think it is. I mean, technology, emails, phone calls, internet, oh my goodness, is a huge contributor to making elections super easy, because if for millennials, they don't care, or, you know, they don't have the time. Absentee voting is this huge thing that is, you know, really effortless, and it's a great thing. They just have to be able to look for it and want to do it, I think.
All right. And you bring up an interesting topic with absentee voting, and we're definitely going to get to that, because Okay. Hold on to that thought, Alex.
All right.
So I'm 23. I have to reveal my age with this topic. But the reason I say this is because my first guest told me that the first time a lot of the people our age sat down and watched national news for the first time was when 9/11 happened. I was 9 when that happened. In the fourth grade, I was asleep because I was in Hawaii. My dad was in the Navy, so we lived on a Navy base over there. So everything was shut down. I didn't see my dad a lot during the day. Now, the reason I bring that up is that when 9/11 happened, 9 being in the fourth grade, the only thing I cared about at the time was school was out for a few days. I get to stay home. It didn't click for me until I moved to Italy just a few months later, how bad it actually was. But what about you guys? Did 9/11 strike a, I need to make a difference light bulb in your head and say, I got to make a difference. I got to get out there and put my vote out. Let my voice be heard in this country.
Well, during 9/11, I'm an ex-Navy. So during 9/11, I was in the middle of the North Arabian Sea. So you can say that 9/11 didn't impact my life greatly.
Uh-huh.
Back in those days, I couldn't vote. I was not a citizen. After that deployment, I became a citizen. And then, yes, it did affect me. I was about your age. I was 24 back then. And my vote did, and 9/11 did affect how I voted after that. And I did vote conservative after that to keep the country safe.
Right. Now, Alex, you're 19 now. So how old are you when 9/11 happened?
I was in kindergarten. So all I vaguely remember is school being let out and my mom just calling my teacher saying, is everything okay? And I got picked up early. And honestly, that's all I can remember.
Right.
And I had no idea the tragedy that went on. So, oops.
It's okay. I mean, we were young. And I think at that age, we're not expected for... I know when my guest brought it up, I was like, really? You thought about that at 9? Like,
mm-hmm.
Wow, because that surely was not me. But what about you, Dr. Rapier?
I was in high school at the time, and so, you know, it didn't change my life too much. But I do remember thinking that this is a major event and that's going to change our policy and possibly lead to war, which it did.
Right.
And certainly... You know, for people, the millennial generation, younger folks like Alex, life has changed. And when I teach, you know, the topic of foreign policy and we go over 9/11 in the American government class at JU, a lot of students don't realize what life was like before Al-Qaeda and terrorism became such a big issue because it's always been there for them.
Right.
So it's certainly changed, I think, had meaningful differences between the millennial generation and the generation before them.
Got it. Going back to 9/11, that was 2001. So the next presidential election was 2004, if I'm remembering correctly. Mm-hmm. Now, I remember seeing on MTV that artists would be like, go vote, make a difference. I didn't think that was effective to me, still young and couldn't vote. But what about with you? And obviously, Alex, this does not apply to you. But what about the rest of you guys? The go vote, make your voice heard. I feel like that was a really big thing in the early 2000s with artists reaching out.
It was. But 9/11, to my opinion, 9/11 didn't have the same impact that everybody was expecting that the country was going to have, like the Vietnam War had on the younger people of the 60s.
Uh-huh.
And the Vietnam War really mobilized the youth on the 60s, and the 60s were campaigning for change. After 9/11, we got affected. But by 2004, people really wanted to just keep having fun. Elections were not that concerned.
Right.
And I don't think the NTV movement, Go Vote, had an impact on the 2004 election as much as it did before.
And I mean, maybe the same issue we have nowadays affected that MTV kind of age group where they still felt like, oh, yeah, go vote. But we're not going to because we're that stereotypical age group. We're not going to do anything. So it's kind of like a vicious cycle, I think.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those things where I respect what they're doing, you know, trying to motivate people. It's like, oh, my God. Like, I mean, I'm not going to lie. If Justin Bieber was like, hey, go vote, I'd be like, well, Justin Bieber said I should go vote. But then again, it's like, but I mean, then I have to get up. I have to go out. And that's honestly, I just think that's so millennial. It's like, yeah. If only it was electronic and I can do it from my phone. And I really just don't get it with the millennials. We're a weird bunch to me. Now, do you guys think it's important for the millennials to be involved with the upcoming election this year?
Absolutely. I do believe it's important. I mean, they might not think because they say that all politicians are liars.
Uh-huh.
And they don't, and all politicians, they don't worry about themselves. But whatever... whatever policy gets passed in the few years right now when the millennials are 19, 20, and 21, they might not feel the effects. But when they're 30 and they have a family, those new policies that they didn't worry about will affect them.
Agreed.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where when they're talking about, oh, well, really, I just want to know who's going to forgive all my student loans. Like that yeah. See, we're more thinking of the now and everything. Like, what if I go vote, what's going to change immediately? And that goes back to the millennials being, I want instant gratification. And the last guest I had in brought in a point. They go, yeah, you can vote for them and they could get elected, but what they promised or said that they would do, it takes time. And sometimes people don't have the patience to wait that long. So if it's going to take a while, why bother voting for it right now? You know what I mean?
Well, I think you've hit on a key point there is that young people want to hear from politicians what they're going to do for them, you know? And so I think we've heard that a bit with Bernie Sanders and focusing on forgiving student loan debt and making college education more affordable. And so I think there are some candidates out there who are trying to make this argument and trying to mobilize young folks to get registered and go to the polls. And we saw this also in 2008 with Obama, who was so successful at campaigning on Twitter and using technology to bring in fundraising. And so I think people like to complain about millennials, but young people in general are tend to be less concerned with politics. It's harder for them to see how government affects their lives. But when the campaigns really reach out to them and get them excited about issues these young students care about, then that's when we see them really activated to go participate.
Right. And that brings up another point on how can candidates reach this millennial group. What is effective? What is it? One of my guests said BuzzFeed articles. If you have BuzzFeed on your side, like you got that group. And he also said Twitter, Facebook. But what other things can really, is if a candidate were to reach out to you, what would you want them to do for them to grab your attention?
Do college students still use Facebook, or is that a thing of the past?
I mean, college students do still use Facebook, but I just think that the use and access that candidates now have, you know, with Twitter or even, you know, the picture type Instagram, you know, we can have that instant, you know, connection between, oh, this is what a candidate's doing. We can see that. Like, for example, this is going to sound super nerdy, but I follow C-SPAN on Twitter, and it's just really awesome that back then that wasn't an instant, oh, I know what the House is doing, or oh, I know what this candidate's doing, or oh, I know what the speaker's doing. And it's just, and it might not be the same for other people my age, but for me, a political science major, that gets me going. Like, I'm like, yes, I want to know what these people are doing, and I want to know what they're doing that benefits my interests. And I think the fact that candidates nowadays are using those platforms are really a great kickstarter to opening up their audience. Sure.
Okay. Now, I mean, one, I don't think you're a nerd for following C-SPAN. That's cool. It's, you know, when I first started this show, Jack's Journal, it focuses on public affairs and everything. But the more I got into this, I didn't care about politics at all during high school, college. I thought it was wasting my time. But when I started working here, learning about what's happening in the community, I'm like, people should really know what's going on. You see people complaining on Facebook. It's like, oh, well, why is this like this? Well, if you would pick up a newspaper or, you know, read or just log on, get connected, you'll find out what's going on. And just seeing, like, some of my friends, my older friends from college, it's like, all right, you guys are aware of what's happening. Yeah, keeping up with the Kardashians, that's great and all. But do you know what's happening over in D.C. right now? Do you know what's happening overseas? So it's one of those things where I really respect that someone like you is following C-SPAN and you're hungry to learn more. And it kind of bumps me out that not a lot of people in our generation are like that. Don't you guys? What do you guys think about that?
I'm amazed she follows C-SPAN. I mean, I'm a political junkie by, I mean, a scale 1 to 10, I'm a 10, but not even me follows C-SPAN. Okay, so that's pretty good.
So Alex is like a 12 on a 10.
Yeah, definitely. I try to watch C-SPAN and it puts me to sleep.
Well, the good thing about, I follow it on Twitter, so it's just like the highlights. So I'm just like, ooh, that's what happened during the interesting thing today. So
yeah. So this goes to my next question. The candidates can do their part by reaching out to the younger audience. But what can the younger audience do to get more involved? How can they meet that reach? Because the candidates can't do it all by themselves. I mean, yeah, they're trying to sell what they're doing and try to become, you know, president, but they still need support. So what can the millennials do to really get involved in the know?
Well, I mean, simply if a millennial is interested in a candidate, whatever the candidate is, if it could be Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump, grab their smartphone and look at their website and see what they offer. If their values match the millennial values, and if it does, then just simply see where is the closest headquarters for that campaign. Send them an email, keep them a phone. Hey, do you guys need help? Do you guys need to have a phone bank that I can call people? Do you guys need to go door to door? Especially with this new season of elections, this year is going to be a lot of help, especially in Florida for the month of February, coming out to the March 15 primary election, that we're going to be knocking on doors.
Right.
So they're going to need the millennial people to be knocking on those doors for their candidates. So it's simple. Just grab your cell phone or your computer and go look at the website.
There you go.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, young people especially, are afraid to just show up and volunteer, but that's really all the campaigns are looking for. So if you go online and you find a candidate you like and they have a campaign office or the party has a campaign office in your area, just show up and introduce yourself and say, I'm here to help. And they're going to be more than happy to have you there, you know, putting you to work, making phone calls or going door to door, whatever it is. They're just glad to have you show up.
Got it. Now, this goes on to my next topic, sort of, you know, you're registered to vote. Yeah, that's great and all. But what about those in our audience that are listening? They just turned 18 and very excited about being able to vote, or they were just really amazed that Alex follows C-SPAN. It's like, wow, I should really get out there and vote. When it comes to registering for vote, what should people know? How do they register? Can somebody walk us through the steps?
Well, simple. There are three ways. You can call the supervisor of elections, and then you can ask them to mail you a ballot. An application, and you fill it out, and then you mail it. You can go to their office, which is in downtown, or you can get online, www.duvalelections.com, and they're gonna have a tab. They're gonna say register to vote, and they're gonna bring you step by step on how to do it.
So it's really log on, find out what to do, then go do it.
Exactly.
It's nothing complicated. It's right there. Easy steps 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And I think it's important to remember, too, that the deadline to register is 29 days before the election. So you can't go online the day before the election. You have to prepare about a month in advance. But otherwise, it is very simple. Yeah.
All right. Now, what can you guys tell me about voting precincts? How does somebody find them? I'm not from Florida originally. I lived in South Georgia before I moved here. So somebody walk me through voting precincts here.
Well, the same step. You go back to DuvalElections.com, which is the website for the supervisor of election over here. And you go to the button that says precinct finder. Then you're going to ask you to pull your address. You put your address, and then it's going to give you the precinct that you are. Like in my case, I put my address and my precinct is 411. and it give me the directions, and it even give you a picture of what the building looks like. And that's where you got to go. And at the same time, it give you every single day for every election, and it give you that deadline, like the Professor Pierre said, when is the deadline for you to register.
Okay. But what do the precincts do? What is the idea, or what are they?
Well, the precincts are a specific area that depends on where you live. You got to vote.
Okay.
Because especially where you live in Duval County, for example, if you live in some areas of the west side, your congressional congressman is Congresswoman Corrie Brown. But if you live in still in Jacksonville and you live on the south side, then your congressman is Andrew Crenshaw. So it depends on your address, depends on who's representing you in Congress and in the state.
Got it. Okay. Well, thanks for that. I mean, somebody can explain to me over and over again, and I'm like, okay. And so, I mean, that's just how it is. I have to be told many different times in many different ways. Before we wrap up, Alex brought up earlier about different ways of voting. There's absentee voting. There's early voting. Am I missing anything else? Is it just those two, absentee and early voting and regular election day?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't want to go to the polls on election day, like Alex said, you can request an absentee ballot from the supervisor of elections office. Or we have the early voting window, which is usually starts about 10 days before the election and goes until about 3 days before the election, although that period can be a little bit longer if they choose to do that. And that just gives a little bit more flexibility. If you work on election day, which is a Tuesday, and you can't show up, the early voting window makes it easier for you to show up during the week on weekends and get through the process a little bit faster.
All right. And what about absentee voting? What is that about?
Absentee voting, I think, is voting made easy. So basically, if you're unwilling or unable to make it to the polls come election day, absentee voting is the way to vote without being there. So you can request an absentee vote through DuvalElections.com, like finding your precinct. And you have to do it, I think it's about 6 or 7 days before elections because, you know, mail, whatever, it takes a little bit. But once you get it, you can fill it out and then turn it in the day of elections, but it can't be later. And it's honestly that simple, like bing, bang, boom technology.
There you go.
That's it.
So from what I'm gathering is that maybe some of us are just lazy. The way you guys are explaining things is that it's really right there. Just take the time, get out there and vote. That's pretty much what I got from this conversation, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
All right. Well, I think I've asked all the questions I've had. Is there anything else you guys would like me or our audience to know about voting the upcoming elections at all, anything?
Just do it.
Just do it. All right. Well, thanks so much, you guys, for coming in. I really appreciate it. Hope you guys had fun doing this. I had a lot of fun.
Of course. Thank you so much.
No problem. And a big thanks to all of you for tuning in. You are all so great. Once again, this is Jack's Journal, and I am Danielle Lee. We will talk again same time next week.
You've been listening to Jack's Journal, a production of News 104.5 WOKV.